Still staying in Joshua, just moving on a few chapters tonight. Joshua chapter 14. Just taking out some very simple little passages in the book of Joshua. Said this morning, this to me is the book that gives us so much wisdom and guidance as we see how Israel stepped out into the promised land, and even then they faced difficulties and situations that God was able to overcome as long as they put their trust in him. And yes, we saw this morning how they got tremendous results as Jericho fell without a shot being fired by the ways of God, which are not always our ways, and yet they are ways that work and bring success. So we're looking at Joshua chapter 14, and we're going to read all of this chapter. I think this is a wonderful passage of scripture, and you'll see why as we read through it. Now these are the areas which the children of Israel, they inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribe of the children of Israel distributed as an inheritance to them. Their inheritance was by lot, as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses, for the 9 tribes and a half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of the 2 tribes and a half tribe on the other side of the Jordan, but to the Levites he had given no inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, and they gave no part to the Levites in the land, except cities to dwell in, with their common lands for their livestock and their property. As the Lord had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the words which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him, as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, for those 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb the son of Jephunneh as an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. And then the land had rest from war. Wonderful passage. Very personal too, I think. And what would we call the heading of this? Well, reward. Reward is the only way we could start off by talking about this passage tonight. Or perhaps a better way to put it, as the world might say, what's in it for me? Isn't that what everyone wants? Everything we seem to do these days is because there must be something for me. How often do we find this in almost every aspect of life and society? It's all about me. What's in it for me? But I'd rather call it tonight, it's God giving his reward. Reward bank accounts. Oh yes. I wonder how many of us swap our bank accounts around because there's a reward to be achieved. Move your bank account and you get a small sum added to it. Or how much do we look around when we need something replaced and we go for the one that's got the cash back? Buy this one, buy this model, buy this make, and you'll get £10, £20 or even £50 cash back. And of course, there's the never-ending number of loyalty cards. I must confess, we've got a few ourselves. And when you get them stamped up, you get a free coffee or a free tea. And yes, we all like something a little extra. Or perhaps the one that the world has really grasped, bonuses. People who are paid to do a job, and even though they make a mess of it, what's what they're looking for? A bonus. What's in it for me? But you haven't done a good job. But they still get their bonus. How often we see this across society. And yet here we find for reward in this chapter 14 of Joshua. It's telling us a wonderful story, a story of a man who fulfilled, I think, and the best verse to describe is perhaps James 1:12, when he says, "Blessed is the man who endures all the temptation, for when he has been proved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Isn't that what we as Christians are looking forward to? We're looking forward to that day when in the promised land we will get our rewards for being faithful. So here was Caleb, a man of God who at the age of 85, I'm not going to ask who's 85 or plus here. I know we've got a few members who are reaching that and some have gone beyond it. But here's this man of 85. He's suddenly in the middle of the apportionment of the land of Canaan amongst God's people. He steps out boldly. He steps out of the ranks and he comes boldly to claim his God-given portion, promised to him 40 years before. He hadn't forgotten. 40 years he'd waited. 45 years he'd waited for God's promise. And I think when we think of Caleb, we find him as one of these great characters. He was a man of faith. He had a deep faith, I think, perhaps deeper than most. And yet he was a man who had a simple faith. It wasn't a difficult, hard faith that he had. And of course, we often find, do we not, in scriptures and when we read books of these great men of God, that some of the great saints of God are those who do have a very simple faith. They're not complicated people. Their whole life and the way in which they live is simplicity itself. And their faith is built on that childlike trust. Childlike trust. A faith trusting in the word of God. Everything that God says. They believe it. They accept it. Why? Because it's God's word. And they never doubt it. They trust in God. And they trust in all his promises. You see, their eyes have been opened. Opened by God's Spirit. They believe in all of God's principles. Principles of God's spiritual blessing. That if you follow him wholly and lean and trust in him, then God, like Caleb, will give us that reward. He will answer our needs and our prayers. And we could have that same result in our lives, could we not? If we could just grasp that simple childlike faith to actually believe what we read in Scripture, believe what God is promising to us when we read it. How wonderful it is. And what's to stop us? Because the Bible tells us Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and for eternity. We have the same God, we have the same Saviour as what Caleb had way back then. As many of these great saints of God have, they are worshipping the same God. So how do they manage it? How do they seem to have that faith to trust, and how to have an unfettered faith even in our old age. The same visions of spiritual things that we had perhaps when we were younger, when we first made that profession of faith, how we wanted to be out and out for the Lord, how we wanted to serve him, and yet somehow, as time goes on, we begin to fade as well. And why? That when our journey through life is perhaps, some of us, drawing closer to the end, just to be contented and sit back and live off our past experiences, instead of being ready and eager to pick up some new challenge that God might give to us, even at our age, as he gave to Caleb at his age, and to use him for the glory of God. Do you know, it's rather sad, because I know in some churches there are members who, when they reach retirement, they stop doing everything. I've retired now. And they've resigned their positions within the church because they've retired. They've reached that end. And they sit back now. And yet, do we not find that God in his grace, that so many of us, when we retire, we have still got health and strength, and we could do so much for him. As I mentioned this morning, I worked for a tire company for many years. And to get a tire, get a retread on it, is just to give you another 15,000 miles. And that's what God can do with us, can he not? He can take us and use us. This was a great man. So what was the secret, perhaps, of Caleb's faith and trust? Well, I think we can safely say that he had a faith that never wavered. If we go back the 45 years to the day in history that we read in Numbers 13 and 14, perhaps we could find out the reason why. For we have found then that after they had crossed the wilderness, they reached Kadesh Barnea. And there they were, Israelites, on the border of the promised land of Canaan. And God had said to them, and how often does God say to us what we just don't believe? How often does God say to the people of Israel, as we go through the book of Joshua, for instance, and they don't believe? There's always that hesitation. And of course, there was so much unbelief amongst the tribes, the 12 tribes, that when God said, I'm going to take you across, they wanted to see it for themselves, didn't they? And so what did they do? They had to send spies in. And of course, there would be one tribe against the other, so each tribe had to have their own person there, their own representative. And so they sent 12 spies in to spy out the land. 6 weeks, we find that they were in the land spying it out, and then they came back with the report. Two, of course, we know from the story, which is a simple story, there was a majority who said, oh no. But there was two, Joshua and Caleb, and they said, ah yes. You know how often we see reports, perhaps the Chilcot report and all the other reports, they've got to be reshuffled, they've got to be sorted out before they'll even print them and produce them. And I wonder what it was like back there in Joshua's time when they came back with their reports, how they would manipulate them so that each side could have their own way. And the majority admitted, yes, God is going to take us into a land flowing with milk and honey. But nevertheless, the people who are in there, who dwell in the land, they're strong. Their cities, have you seen their cities? They're fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. They come of the giants. And of course, Jericho was one of these great fortified cities, was it not? We doubt and we fear, so we don't really grasp God's promises. We always have to do it according to our human ways and our human feebleness. And so they said, no, we're not able to go up against them. But then we find that Caleb steps forward, and he quietens down the people and their arguments. And he says, yes, there are giants there. Yes, it's going to be difficult. No, it's not going to be an easy time. But he believed in God. And what does he say? He says, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land, in Numbers 14, verse 8. How often we say that little statement, two prisoners looking through the bars, one sees mud and the other sees stars. And I think that describes it, does it not? So often we're looking down and we only see what's there instead of looking up and looking to our God who is able to take us through. And so Joshua and Caleb, they had seen what the others had seen, but they saw it with a difference, did they not? The majority were measuring the giants against their own strength, but Caleb and Joshua measured the giants against God's strength, and that's what made the difference. The majority trembled, but these two men, looking to God, they were able to triumph. The majority had great giants because they only had a little God. But Caleb and Joshua, they had a great God. They trusted in him, and it made these giants look like little giants. But of course, there was an if in what Caleb was saying. It wasn't an if of unbelief. It was an if of humility. If the Lord delights in us, if God is going to be gracious to us, if we trust in God, if we just keep believing in him, then surely God will deliver us, and we shall go in, and we shall be victorious. And there he was, as he looked back over the wilderness journey that they had struggled through. He would have remembered all the problems and difficulties, and he would have seen how God was gracious and how God had delivered them. He would be able to go right back to the day when, as we mentioned this morning, they'd taken the blood of the lamb and they'd sprinkled on the doorposts, and the angel of God had saved them, and God had brought them safely out of their bondage in Egypt. As he remembered the sure leading of this gracious God that they were following, by the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day, he could see how wonderful this God was. And this was the God that they were worshipping. And he knew that the Lord delights in his people. And so when he remembered all these things, he would say, yes, we can. If God is gracious to us, he will take us and we will be victorious. But what was the rest of the people? They were still doubting, they were still squabbling, they were undecided. And we find that many of them wanted to go back to Egypt. They'd had enough. There was always this inkling to go back to the old ways. It was too difficult, it was too hard. But you know, when they got into that stage, and when the people were almost rebelling, isn't it wonderful what Moses was able to do? Turn with me to Numbers 14. Numbers 14. Because here's a reminder that prayer is power. Prayer really does change things. And God, we find, became back there in Numbers when they were crossing over, getting ready to go into the promised land. God had got really frustrated with the people that he'd chosen and was taken into the promised land. He was so exasperated, shall we say, almost giving up. And there in verse 11 of Numbers chapter 14 we read, then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? How long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? I will strike them with the pestilence. I will disinherit them. And I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. And then Moses said to the Lord, but then the Egyptians will hear it, for by your might you brought these people up from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that you, Lord, are among these people, that you, Lord, have seen face to face, and your cloud stands above them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now if you kill these people as one man, Then the nations which have heard of your fame will speak, saying, Oh, because the Lord was not able to bring this people to the land which he swore to give them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness. And now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying, For the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. What a wonderful prayer. There was Moses pleading for the lack of faith and the doubting of God's people. And God heard that prayer, and he answered it, and he was gracious to them, and he took them into the promised land. Yes, God makes it clear, does he not, that the land of blessing can be inherited only by faith and obedience. And that's what we have to learn. He refuses almost the whole congregation when we think of it, when he took them through that wilderness experience, and only basically Caleb and Joshua crossed over. They that endure to the end shall receive the crown. But what did God say of Caleb? He says this, But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, and he has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants will inherit. So here we find Caleb. He's treasured that promise, the promise that the Lord gave to him through Moses for 45 years. 45 years of going through all the struggles that all the rest went through, through the wilderness, through all the constant toils that they had to face, the ceaseless conflict that took place amongst the Israelites, and the unfulfilled hopes that many of them thought was there. Here we find Caleb amongst the... You never found him amongst the murmurers of the people. He held on to that fixed purpose, wholly trusting and following the Lord. Just like his illustrious ancestors, when God said of Abraham, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in his faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Do we believe that? There was no use trying to involve Caleb in any rebellions against Moses. You don't find him mentioned there. Never was he found amongst the grumblers, those who were skeptical and unbelieving. Nor did he ever hanker to go back to Egypt, to the old ways. He was never found amongst those who were on the wrong side of God's plans. He always obeyed God. You see, Caleb, I think, had caught a glimpse of the reward of obedience, and that was sufficient for him to keep him through and to keep him faithful for the rest of his life. As we keep saying, those who endure to the end shall receive the crown. What a wonderful experience that was it not? When this man at 85 years of age, this man with godly character and a man of authority, was able to step out, and nobody could challenge him because they could see that he was a sound man of faith, trusting in God. Give me this mountain, which the Lord spoke of in that day. How many of us are going to live to 85 or beyond it? The Lord knows. But do we have a faith that keeps us going? Have we got the strength to keep going the way Caleb had? Founded in his unshakable conviction that the Lord delighted in him. He had that personal relationship with his God. He knew his God, and God knew him. And surely he will bring us into this promised land. But the scriptures go on to tell us, don't they? But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We come in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, has promised before the time began. And Paul was able to say, was he not? It's for this reason that Paul says, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And you know, it's wonderful that we have such a wonderful God, that he even overlooks all our failings, all our shortcomings, to give us this wonderful, wonderful assurance of eternal life. We have that hope in him. Well, do we still have that faith? When we feel life's rewards are perhaps not going our way, and yet, in every difficulty, like Israel, we are being fed and feasting on manna from heaven. When God said, as he said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for all your needs. And Paul, you could imagine, say, Lord, what about this? My grace is sufficient for all your needs, no matter what. Or when we feel that there is great drought in our souls and we don't seem to be going anywhere as Christians. Or when we face the burning heat of the day, as the Israelites would have felt in that desert experience. When the pestilence, as they found, seems to come upon us. And when the floods seem to be almost around us and we feel as if we're drowning. Yet in the end, our harvest reaps that wonderful reward. You notice that Caleb's strength never wavered. It never weakened, as we've read in verse 11. A faith that never wavered gave him the strength that never weakened. He could say, though the outward man is perishing, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. And just one last thought, because when you read through this book, something that we have to note quite clearly, that Caleb's reward was also total victory. He was the only one who went into the promised land, who totally drove out the enemy. The rest failed, they capitulated, and they suffered the consequences. For the man who wholly followed the Lord was wholly victorious. Do we have a faith like Caleb? Do we trust in him? Pray that God would give us that faith to trust him, regardless of what changes we might find coming upon us in this changing world in which we live, to keep going until we can step forward in that day in glory and claim our eternal reward in him. Amen.